everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Poppin' Off about pop culture. I'm your host, Maggie.
And it's me, Steven.
So before we get into the show, I do need to bring something up that I saw on someone's car yesterday. So I'm sure we've all seen like weird stickers that people have on the backs of their cars. But this was something that I had like never seen before, and I still don't know what it means. I've like really contemplated it. And it said crotch goblins on board with a heart. And I sent it in mine and Steven's group chat that we have with our friends. And Steven said it sounded like the driver had crabs.
Because, you know, they're like little goblins on your crotch. I don't know.
I mean, that's a really good guess. I think it means they're kids.
Yeah, most likely.
But I, like, what do you mean, crotch goblins?
I mean, like, I guess they come out of your crotch when they're born. And maybe they act like goblins. But, like, who calls their children that?
I have just like never seen anything like that. I've never heard of anything like that. So I would just like to, you know the public opinion on that. What do you guys think it is? Leave a comment below because I'm really curious.
I've never heard kids called goblins before. I've heard like kids called gremlins.
Yeah, goblins. There's like a difference, okay, between a goblin and a gremlin.
Yeah. I don't know. Sound off.
yeah, please. Leave me your ideas in the comments, please. I really want to know because I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. Okay, let's get into the episode. So obviously the biggest headline of the week and what has been the biggest headline in pop culture news for the past few weeks is the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial. It finally came to a close this week, and Johnny Depp was the person who, I guess, came out as the victor, and Amber Heard lost the case. That is not how I'm looking at it. Yes, in the eyes of the law and what the jury saw, Johnny Depp will be awarded $10 million from Amber Heard. She will also get $2 million from him. But all in all, he won the case. But I am just not looking at it like that because it's just not a win for anyone. No. This case got so out of control, so sensationalized on social media that it like really made me sick. Like I couldn't, like, knowing that people were out there making memes, making edits, making like different videos and stuff about this trial was just like where are we as a society that we're making domestic violence, no matter who was in the right, who was in the wrong, we're making domestic violence into a game and into a joke.
Yeah. I'm totally on the same page as you. And I think last time we talked about it, we were both kind of like, we don't really know. We feel like Johnny Depp did some wrong, but I feel like we both kind of were like anti Amber Heard. And at this point, I'm like anti both of them. I feel like they both really suck.
I do too. And I feel like there was definitely abuse on both sides. There was some things, I don't know, just like what I heard about the case and like the evidence that was brought to court. Some of it was just so like either like really traumatic to listen to or just like really silly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is just like not a time to bring in evidence where like everyone in the room was laughing. And I just feel like that's what we got a lot of. And I don't know. I don't know. I just, there's no winner here. There was never going to be
True.
A winner. But I'm just really disappointed in the way that people online acted.
Yeah, I've seen so many posts in the past day. There's like that iconic quote from Jack Sparrow, where it's like, let this be known as the day you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, he says that a couple times throughout the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so many people posting that because it's like, it fits with the case. And it's like,
well, here's the thing, though. They are quoting a character that Johnny Depp played, but Johnny mm-hmm. Depp also, and Amber Heard, also kind of became, like, characters of themselves throughout this trial.
Yes.
And, like, everyone else that was involved in this trial also became characters. Like, it felt like I was just watching, like, a TV show, like, when yeah. I did see clips and stuff from it. And that's why I'm just, like, so disappointed. Like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp will probably never see like 90% of the things that were posted and stuff. But like people that you know, whether you know that they've been through a domestic violence situation or not, will see those things. And it's either going to be triggering. They're either going to think that you take it as a joke or that you think that this is like a lighthearted situation. And that's just like the biggest thing is that regular people will, I just feel like, are not going to be taken seriously by their either like the people that they know or the court and the law. So yeah. it should have never have gotten to the point where it was. And there's just so many things that happened during the trial that should have never happened. So I don't know.
And I feel like people don't even know what the trial was for because it was a defamation trial.
But like, it spun so out of control from that.
No, for sure. But I feel like people are acting like because he won this trial, he is innocent. And like, that's not what the trial was for.
No.
It was to prove if he was defamed by Amber Heard.
Yeah, and it just turned into, is Johnny Depp a liar? Is she a liar? Are they abusers? I don't know.
Yeah.
The case was terrible from the start, and I hope that we never see another celebrity case like this again.
Well, I don't know if this one is even over is the thing, because she can totally try to file for an appeal.
Yeah, I read that she was going to, but I mean, first of all, it takes a while to like actually appeal a case and like actually get it to court. So it will be a while, if and when we ever see it again.
Right.
But I just don't want to see something like this again. I hope if it does go to the appeal, that we just don't hear about it as much as we heard about it this time.
Right. Yeah. Cause like I listened to a clip from her attorney and she kind of had a point because she was like, we literally stopped the trial for 10 days. Mm-hmm. Like there's no way that the jury wasn't swayed one way or another.
Right.
By social media, the news, like just hearing their friends and family talk. Like,
which I'm surprised that the jury wasn't sequestered because this is such a high profile case.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of shocked me when I did read that. And that was kind of what I was referring to when there was just like a lot of things that happened during the trial that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
So yeah, I'm surprised. I just hope that people take domestic abuse seriously. If someone confides in you about experiencing, it doesn't always have to be physical either.
There's
definitely emotional, mental abuse as well that happens in domestic relationships. So I hope that if someone confides in you that you take it seriously, you believe them, and you know, you try your best to do your part in helping them. I don't know. I know it's a big task, but just overall, take domestic abuse and abuse victims seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I feel like we should move on.
Yep, it's time.
Yes. So we're going to move on to the fucking Oscar slap is back again to haunt us. Jada Pinkett Smith. Well, here's what the headline said when I read it. It said, Jada Pinkett Smith addresses controversial Oscar slap. So I'm thinking on the Red Table Talk, of course, obviously.
Well, of course.
So I have never watched Red Table Talk. I just like usually either will like see a clip or something on social media, or I'll like read about it. So in this case, I read about it. This woman did not address a single thing about the Oscar slap. She had, I think it was like two or three women who also suffer from alopecia come on the show, and they kind of like talked about their experience with it, how it's stigmatized in society, just talking about alopecia and how they live through it and live with it. And truly the only thing that she got close to when referencing the Oscar slap was when she was like, she says something about, I just want to move on in like a peaceful, happy manner. And I just want to do what Will and I have continued to do for the past how many years they've been together. And that is just like figuring out life. I'm like, why would you headline this article with that? She referenced the Oscar slap. She didn't say anything about it.
No. Jada did the same thing she does every single time her and Will have a controversy. She said, we just want to come to peace and love.
And that's great. I hope you do. But if you're going to go on the Red Table Talk and you say this show is about laying it all on the table, there's nothing off limits, then you need to keep it that way. I want to hear you say something like, yes, I think Chris Rock deserved it. I was deeply hurt by his comment, and I felt like my husband went up there and did what he had to do, and he defended me. And if that's her standpoint, then let it be known. I don't want all this peace, love, and happiness without you addressing it first. Like, give me something juicy.
Yeah, it feels fake first and foremost. And then second, make it juicy. But like, who, it's just clickbait. Like, who watches the Red Table Talk?
I think people watched it when it first came out because they did talk a lot about things that are taboo to people. And, you know, the Smith family is obviously a well-known family. So it's like, yeah, you want to hear about what these people have to say and like, you know, hear about what they've gone through behind closed doors. And they started bringing on famous people and like talking about whatever experiences they were talking about there.
Right.
So it was an interesting concept when it first came out. But then it just got to be so wishy-washy with this, we just want to move forward. That's all we're going to say about it.
Yeah, that's what it literally all it's been. So what's the point? End it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't care anymore. Just move on.
Side note, did you see that there's like a version of the Red Table Talk with like the Estefans, like Gloria Estefan?
I did know that, yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but... It's like on Facebook.
Yeah, so was the original Red Table Talk.
Yeah, it's just like, who cares?
Yeah, I think theirs, though, is like more lighthearted than...
I think so, too.
Red Table Talk is the original version, at least like from what I've seen, because they're never like really laughing on the original version, but on the one with the Estefan family, it seems like they're just having a good time.
True. In the Red Table Talk, they're always just holding hands, looking into each other very deeply.
They are! And you know what? I just don't understand how, like, because they used to do it like once a week. And it's like, this is intense to do weekly, you know, like, I can't sit there and just like bare my soul to people once a week and do it with a camera on me. Like, that's a lot.
Televised therapy.
Yeah. And like, no thanks. So, moral of the story, cancel Red Table Talk unless you're going to give me something juicy.
I will continue to not watch it. So well, cancel it, keep it on, whatever.
Okay, let's switch gears to something kind of wild that happened. The Mona Lisa was
defaced.
Defaced. That's the word I'm looking for. I almost said plagiarized. I said plagiarized.
Not quite.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. But yeah, the Mona Lisa had cake smeared on it. Well, I thought it was like on it too until I realized that it has a protective glass over it. So the cake was smeared onto the glass. And it like the more and more that I read the story, it just got like wilder and wilder. So I originally read that it was like an older person that did it, and they just like had cake in their hand for some reason and smeared it. So I was like, okay, this elderly person is probably like not in their right mind or something. I don't know. But then I read more, and it was someone that was dressed as an elderly person and smeared it. And then I read more, and they did it because it was like a protest against climate change.
Oh,
And
I didn't know that.
okay, yeah, that's I don't know if that's true or not, or if someone just like did it like just to go viral or whatever, but I don't really know like what it would have to do with climate change because they kind of just like smeared the cake and that was it. They didn't like smear the cake to get everyone's attention and then like start talking about climate change or like cause like a bigger scene than had than what had already happened. So I don't really know. I mean, unless like the person smeared it and then like security like right away was on top of them and like escorting them out. I don't know, but just like a strange thing that happened this week that I feel like is worth mentioning.
I think it's kind of funny.
I do too. I thought it was funny.
I guess like it would be kind of shitty if it was like on the actual Mona Lisa.
Oh,
That would be
yeah.
kind of like devastating. I still think I would think it was funny, but like also like I know better, like I shouldn't think that, but I don't know. It's just 'cause like Mona Lisa just looks like any old piece of art to me, so I just think it'd be funny if I don't know. It 'cause it'd be like such a travesty, like
Oh, yeah.
oh my God, the art community would be up in arms.
They're
There would
probably
be
up
like
in arms.
shrines, flag would be half mast. Like,
Yes. They're probably up in arms listening to your comments, being like, yeah, it'd actually be really funny if it was on the actual painting.
I mean, I guess it would be kind of shitty because, like, I don't want that precedent. Like, we shouldn't do that to art. That's not cool.
No.
But it's just like funny that this person just decided to smear cake. Like, if it was graffiti, it wouldn't be funny. But the fact that they threw
Yeah.
cake at it.
I don't know why it was cake. And then I don't know if anyone else saw this on Twitter, but I did post it on our Instagram story. And I thought it was like a joke at first that someone was posting, but it came from the official Philadelphia cream cheese Twitter account, which I did not
Oh,
know
yeah.
existed. And it was a promoted tweet. And hold on, let me read you the exact tweet because I was like, no way this is real right now. But here we are. So it said, well, first of all, it said, a man schmeared. Schmeared, it's smeared, right?
It is smeared, but like I think there's something called schmear. It's like a I think that's like a like one of their brands
Oh.
or something.
Okay. Well, anyways, so it said a man smeared creamy cake across the Mona Lisa. It looked like cream cheese to us, but was it with Philly? If there's one cream cheese as worthy of the Louvre, it's Philadelphia. Hashtag smear campaign. And then they posted the picture. They posted the picture of like the cake smeared on the glass. And then in the corner it says, was it Philadelphia? I
I feel like companies on Twitter over the past like 5 years or so are just so ruthless.
know if that's genius or if that's just like annoying.
I don't think it's genius, but it's a little funny.
Yeah, like,
because it's random.
It is random, and it's a promoted tweet, so they like paid to put that out there on people's timelines. So
yeah, I don't know. Philadelphia cream cheese does not really need the promotion, I feel like.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is Philadelphia cream cheese down bad or something? They gotta come up with like a new marketing campaign,
right?
Or what? But I don't know. Yeah, anyways.
That happened, I guess.
Yeah, that happened. That happened. Okay, let's move on to something else that's, I guess, a little bit wild that happened this week. Matthew Morrison got kicked off of So You Think You Can Dance for allegedly sending flirty text messages to a contestant. So first of all, did not know So You Think You Could Dance was like a thing again. I thought it had gone off the air like 5+ years ago, but then I saw commercials for it. And then I was like, why is Matthew Morrison on here? Is he a dancer? I wouldn't necessarily categorize him as a dancer.
Yeah, that's not like his main thing.
I just
like he's definitely like a trained dancer, but like that's not what he's known for, you know? Like he's that's not what he does. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Matthew Morrison, the man's just done too many wrong things in his life. Like Will Schuster, horrible character. Everyone hates him if you've seen Glee. And then he played the creepy, seductive Grinch on that special a couple years ago.
I forgot about that.
And it was like, I don't even know why he was like the choice for that in the first place. Like, okay. And then now this, it's like Matthew Morrison, just like stick to Broadway or something. I don't know. The limelight is not for you, clearly. So like Maggie said, he was fired from the show. So like I found this out a couple days ago and they just said for like, he was fired for not adhering to like the rules and policies of the show. And then I think yesterday it came out that he was sending flirty messages to a contestant on the show. And then today he addressed it on social media. And this is what that he claims that he sent to this woman. He said, "Hey, it's Matthew. If you don't mind, would love to get your number and talk through some things." And he said this was because they had a mutual respect for a choreographer and he wanted to help her get a job as a choreographer. Don't know if that's true, obviously, but that seems kind of harmless to me.
It does to me as well. But I think that some things got misconstrued when that contestant went to the producers and said, "Hey, I got these texts from Matthew Morrison and they're making me uncomfortable." I think when she used the word uncomfortable, they automatically thought like, oh, he's, you know, doing something like harassing her or
right,
something like that. But I think maybe the word uncomfortable in that moment felt like, I don't want to break the rules. And this is an uncomfortable spot for me to be in. So I thought I would bring it to your attention. And whether or not that was the producers thinking that, or like it got leaked to the press and like the press just automatically thought like, oh, like he's trying to flirt with her and get with her.
Right.
And that's why she was uncomfortable.
Yes. I think that could definitely be true. And I guess like this woman who he was messaging, like maybe she also didn't know his intentions. Like if this was like with that text with that message saying, "Hey, can I get your number?" Like mm-hmm. that could be construed as flirty. Like maybe all he actually wanted to do was talk to her about this choreographer. Sure. But like, why didn't he say that in his message?
That's true.
We can't know his intentions. So like she totally could have been uncomfortable because she didn't know what he wanted from her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And like, it is a breach of contract, I'm sure.
I was just going to say, yeah, I feel like either way he shouldn't have been doing that.
But like, if it was something that like was, if it was just like, "Hey, really cool dance" as a DM, like he wouldn't get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I just feel like in this situation, it just got blown out of proportion. But at the same time, if it's in your contract not to contact the contestants outside the show, then you probably shouldn't have been doing that. Even if you're, even if you had the best intentions, then it's like, maybe just save it for later.
Ariana Grande did that with all the people on her team on The Voice. she contacted them all. She wasn't supposed to.
Is that why she's not going to be a judge next season? Or
I don't think she really wants to. Well, I don't think she wants to. I don't know. She kind of sucked at it. But also on The Voice, they're on your team. And So You Think You Can Dance, they're scoring these people. So like.
Right. So it's like you could play favorites.
Yeah. On The Voice, you can't, like, you already have your favorites because they're on your team.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's also like a conflict of interest with him too. But I think this is the end of Matthew Morrison.
Well, thank God. thank God. You know what? Probably not. He'll show up in another random show or like play another weird, creepy role. And everyone's going to be like, oh God, he's back.
Right. Not again.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay. So we're going to move on to God. I'm so sorry that I have to mention this man on our podcast, but Logan Paul, brackets redacted, has a podcast, and Liam Payne, former One Direction member, in case you don't remember, because you know what, this man is so fucking irrelevant that he had to go on Logan Paul's podcast and talk shit. Listen, there was a lot that was said, but also a lot of like stupid shit that was said on this podcast. So the main thing that people really latched onto was, I mean, obviously he was going to talk about One Direction at some point. No one else has like really gone and like done an interview post One Direction talking about like how much they like hated each other or like hated the band. I know that Zayn has like said some things that kind of like alluded to having like issues and like not just like internal issues, but there were like also external issues happening that, you know, caused him to leave the band and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's never outright been like, I dislike this person. Like the most aggressive thing he's ever said about like a particular member from One Direction was when he said that him and Harry like weren't really friends. And I don't fucking believe that, first of all. Okay, roll the tapes. Go back and look at One Direction's funniest moments. They were friends.
Right. And also like when Zayn did it, I feel like it was all like separate. It wasn't just like one interview. He didn't do like a tell-all interview like where he just shit on it.
No. Not at all. But then Zayn has also said things like how he still has like respect and like love for these people that he was in a band with for 5 years, 4 years. So yeah, but anyways, we're not talking about Zayn. We're talking about Liam and how shitty he is. So a while ago, if anyone remembers, Jake Paul, Logan Paul's brother, like went to a UFC fight that Zayn was also at, and I think they were like staying at the same hotel or something, and Jake Paul just kept like bothering Zayn the whole night, like wanting to hang out with him, like wanting to just like be around him. And there's a video of Jake Paul standing outside of Zayn's hotel room, and he's just like, come on man, like come outside and like hang out. And Zayn's like yelling at him through the door, like telling him like fuck off and stuff. And then Jake Paul posted the video and was like, oh, look at this guy. Like, he's out of control or whatever. And then just, like, snowballed into, like, this big thing where, like, Gigi Hadid was coming to his defense because they were still together. And he was like, no, he doesn't want to be around you because you're a stupid piece of shit and you're disrespectful and he's not. So fast forward to the podcast, they bring that up. And Liam's like, well, that didn't age well. Like, referencing how Zayn is disrespectful.
Oof.
And listen, if he was talking about the thing that happened with Gigi Hadid's mom, Yolanda Hadid, we don't know that whole story. So maybe let's not talk about something that could be potentially damaging to someone's family and to that person. Something that's like, was a legal case. And he also was like, you know what? I really have my reasons to dislike Zayn, but I still will be on his side, because he started like bringing up like how his parents were like always really supportive of him and his goals and dreams, and how Zayn did not have the same upbringing or like support from his parents. And a lot of people just like took issue with that, as well as I did, because one, why are you talking about him? Two, even if you left off on a bad, and on bad terms, I would never bring up like an old friend's trauma or like secrets that they confided in with me, even though we're not friends anymore. And that was kind of what he was, no. And that was kind of what he was doing on this public platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know Zayn's family. We don't know what he's been through. And we don't know that for a reason, because he doesn't want to talk about it. So don't bring it up. It was not his place. No, it has nothing to do with him. And then Liam was just like, he's just like a douche, an absolute douche.
He said that he was like the backbone of One Direction.
Yes.
Simon Cowell like wanted him to be the front runner and stuff like that.
Yeah, pretty much. So we obviously know that's not what happened. So Liam auditioned for the X Factor twice, and the second time around, he obviously got cut, and then, you know, One Direction formed. But he's like, yeah, Simon Cowell took me and my mom out to dinner, and he told us that he wanted me to stay on the show, but he didn't think I would make it as a solo artist all the way. So that's why they made One Direction, but I was like the person that they made it around. That could be true, but like, you were not the backbone of One Direction.
No, I feel like Liam like has to tell himself this.
I think so too.
I think he's like saying it to keep himself going. It's kind of sad.
It is. And, you know, in the interview too, he did talk about like what, like where he is now in his life. And he's like, you know, I don't really want to be a touring artist anymore. I don't really care about the number ones, which is like, yeah, that's what they all say. He's like, been there, done that. He's like, now I want to be a DJ. And I want to, you know, play at parties and just like make beats and travel the world.
He wants easy money.
Oh my God. He also brought up this part of One Direction that was like buried very deep in my subconscious memory about my One Direction days. And there was a time where Liam would do like his own remixes on like One Direction singles. And they were always called Big Paino remixes. And then he became known as DJ Paino for a second. And that's what he's trying to do now.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just stupid. Right? But I also thought about how he said that he had the biggest selling single of them all. Which, like, is that true?
I don't know. I think he was talking about, like, during that time when it came out, it was the biggest single. But I don't know if it is anymore.
Okay, probably not. But like at the time, Pillow Talk obviously already existed, which was a number one hit.
Yeah.
So like maybe he like sold more, but like he definitely didn't have more streams, because like both Zayn and Harry have a couple songs over a billion streams.
Yeah.
Spotify alone, and Liam has none. So I was like, well, maybe he like actually sold more like units, but he definitely like they weren't bigger. Like,
no,
stream-wise, at least.
Yeah, I am not sure about that comment.
Me neither. I feel like it's not true, though. Like, he probably was bigger than them in, like, one country. Maybe in, like, the UK at that time.
Probably something like that. I don't know. I
feel like it's partially true. I feel like it's partially true. But I was like, okay, everyone knows that they had bigger songs than you.
Right.
The only person you're outselling is Louis.
Right. And then like the last part of the interview that kind of stood out to me was, okay, Liam said that in the beginning of the year, he said that he like has really struggled with alcohol and he like really wanted to take like the new year and just like better himself mentally and physically and, you know, maybe not be 100% sober, but he wanted to get to a place where he had a healthy relationship with alcohol, which I was like, wow, like he's coming out about this and it feels genuine. If, you know, like someone who has a platform like him talking about this, it's a great thing. But then on this podcast, like 75% of what he talked about was like drinking, or he was so drunk when this happened, like how, you know, the things that he loved the most about was staying in hotels when he was in One Direction was the mini bars and, you know, just like talking a lot about alcohol. And also throughout the interview, he was drinking whiskey and he kept like asking for more of it. So I was like, what's the truth?
I feel like both could be true, but like maybe he genuinely thought that was going to happen and now it's not happening.
Yeah.
But it's not a good look, at least.
No.
It's and inconsistent.
Right? And these fucking bozos, Logan Paul and whoever like his other friends are, I don't know. They kept telling Liam like how wise he was, how astute he was. I was like, yeah, because his IQ compared to your guys's, it's probably way higher. And I don't think Liam Payne really has that high of an IQ. So what does that say about you guys? Like he would just say something that like wasn't even profound. They would just be like, wow, dude, like you're just so wise. And it's like, is he? No.
I hate that so much.
They said it like 3 or 4 times. And Liam would just say something like, you know, I don't really want my son to be in the same kind of spotlight I was, just because I know like the demons and like the all the bad sides that come with it. So I you know, I support him in whatever he does, but I do know the trials and tribulations. And they'd just be like, bro, you are so wise. Like, that's crazy. And it's like, he's just talking.
Any famous person could say that same exact thing. Put any famous person in a room, they would say the same exact thing.
Exactly. Oh my God. It's just, fuck that interview and fuck Liam Payne. That's all I have to say. All right, let's move on to something a little more lighthearted. Kate Bush is at the top of the charts these days, all because of Stranger Things. Her song, Running Up the Hill, is number one on a bunch of different charts. I think the streams went up by the millions, it seems like. The only Kate Bush song I know is the one about Wuthering Heights. And that's because when I was a senior in high school, we had to read Wuthering Heights. And my teacher found that song and we listened to it every single day, multiple times a day sometimes. So that's my experience with Kate Bush.
So I never read that book, but a lot of my friends did. So was my first introduction to Kate Bush was through that song, and didn't really like it. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's, I don't know, it doesn't do anything for me. And then they played a Kate Bush song in Pose, and I feel like it was the same song, but I can't remember exactly. And that's when I was like, I really like this. And I started listening to her more. And the album Hounds of Love, which is what Running Up That Hill is on, is just like so good. And I've just really started to like Kate Bush over the years. And me and my friend Brooke both like love this song. And I'm just really happy she's like getting some random recognition.
It's just like so crazy how songs reach the top of the charts these days.
Yeah.
Like it could be a song like as old as this, and you put it on a popular TV show, you get it trending on TikTok, like it's going number one. And that it's just so weird.
Yeah. And so at first I was really confused because like I didn't watch Stranger Things like the day or two it came out. I waited a couple days before I started watching some of the episodes. So I saw that this song was in it and it was getting really popular. So I just like expected it to be in like one scene. And I was like, how would one scene like the song make it like so big? But it's like it's been played in like two major scenes, like, and then it's been in the background of a couple other scenes. So it's like consistently throughout the season. So that makes more sense. But still, like, the song came out in 1985, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like number one on iTunes and Spotify and almost number one on Apple Music. Like, it's crazy. It's
I
so weird.
know. Yeah, it that's what I'm saying. It's just like music marketing has just changed so much because of social media and because of, TV shows that people binge watch. I don't know.
And
It's weird, but like good for her.
Kate Bush is probably like so confused.
Yeah, she's like, what Stranger Things?
She's like one of those people, like she gets like kind of like looped in with like Bjork in my mind, who's like famous with like this like cult following. Like people adore
Yes.
her, but like people don't really like only a few people like actually know her music.
Yeah, it's a very specific acquired taste.
Yeah. So I feel like it's just she probably like I don't think she has social media, so she's probably like raking in this money and just like what?
She's getting that check in the mail. She's like, whoa, it's bigger than last
I
month.
know. So I don't know. I just think that's really cool. I'm very happy for her.
Yeah.
And just like people experiencing new music. Like this is very different than any of the music today, any of the music on TikTok. So like I'm glad that people like it. Like it's something
Yeah.
different at least. It's not made for a 10-second soundbite.
Exactly. Culture of the people.
Right?
Well, with that, let's get into our toast and our roast. Take it away, Stephen.
All right. My roast goes to BET
All right.
because Lil Nas X has been nominated for zero BET awards.
Really?
In
What?
what world does Lil Nas X not sweep? I guess
So
like
true.
Doja Cat probably will, but like what? Like just say
That
you don't like queer people.
is a blatant homophobia, and to do it during Pride Month.
Right. I think the awards were nominated yesterday. And he's pissed about it, as he should be,
I'd be
because he had
pissed.
one of the biggest albums of the last year.
Yeah, it
Two
was
number one
nominated for how many
hits.
Grammys?
Two number one hits, nominated for Grammys, and no award nominee, at least. Like, sure, he doesn't win, whatever. But you're not even gonna recognize him.
That's terrible.
That's just homophobic.
That is.
Like, that's really all I have to say. Like,
Yeah.
you don't like gay people, I guess.
Yeah, just say you don't like gay people and move on.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. My toast goes to Kelly Clarkson. I don't think I've toast to anything more than I have to Kelly
Say, I feel
Clarkson.
like this is like your third time toasting to
It just happens. It just
her.
happens. So, Kelly Clarkson is just giving the people what they want. So, on her show, she has her segment every episode called Kellyoke, where she does a cover of a famous song.
Kellyoke, that's so
Yeah.
cute.
Yeah, you didn't know that's what it was called?
No, I didn't.
Well, now she's releasing the Kellyoke EP with like six different covers on it. And she released a single with Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish, which is my favorite cover that she's done on the show. And I'm just really happy that I can listen to it on Apple Music and not have to stream it on YouTube anymore.
Wow.
It's so good. Like, I can't stop playing it since she like released it, like officially. It's like, obviously the clip was on YouTube, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Wow, Kelly Clarkson. And she really just like can do no wrong.
Yeah, and then the other songs on it, like Call Out My Name by The Weeknd, and then she's got like a Whitney Houston song, a country song, a Radiohead song. Like, she's just like so eclectic. She can do it all.
A little something for everyone.
What a woman.
Kelly Clarkson is seriously for the people.
She really is. Like, people kept saying like, release this music, and she's like, sure.
I feel like that is just like one white person, like one of the white people that everyone just like collectively loves.
I know. I see this tweet all the time, but it's like, the only thing we did right is as a society was vote Kelly Clarkson to win American Idol.
That's true.
That's the only thing we've ever done right.
I mean, truer words had never been spoken, even though we were like 3 years old when she won, but
I didn't vote for her, but I would have.
Yeah,
I don't care about Justin Guardino or whatever his last name is.
Yeah, see, you don't even know his name. That's how irrelevant he is. All right, my roast goes to Charlie Puth. I just want to preface this by saying Steven and I are like the number one Puthinators, okay?
We only for one album, yes. Only.
And but we love that album so much. That's all we listened to summer of 2018. I mean, what a way to start up an album with like that guitar riff. Oh, anyways, I'm gonna roast him though, because he did an interview with Bustle magazine, which, or not a magazine, but you know, the, you guys know what Bustle is, whatever. I'll assume you do. For some reason, that he brought up the fact that the first song he ever masturbated to was This Love by Maroon 5. And he told Adam Levine that, and Adam Levine was just kind of like, that's weird. And now they're friends. But I'm roasting him because it's just like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you just don't say it out loud, you know? You definitely don't do it on a public platform like that.
No, Charlie Puth has been unhinged lately. Like, can I get a break?
I know. Can you just, like, release good music, please?
Yes. Like, that's not a thing that people talk about. Like, people will sometimes be like, this is the first album I, like, had sex to or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I lost my virginity to this album. Like, people will say that. But nobody... And the words he used was, this is the first album first song I pleasured myself to. It's like, yeah. Sir, stop.
Come on.
This is not a thing. We're not going to make it a thing. Like, I didn't know that's something that people like did put on specific songs. Like, I don't know. I'm out of touch or something.
Yeah. But like, why This Love by Maroon 5? As I have them like a sexy song to like get you in the mood. It's,
This Love has taken its toll on me. She said goodbye. Like, what?
Too many times before.
Is that's not sexy.
No, it's a breakup song.
Yeah. Why did he need to share that?
I don't know. I mean, I know like other parts of the interview, they were talking about like sex and stuff, but it was like very tame other than that. Like, it wasn't anything that like grossed me out except for this.
Yeah, I feel like Charlie X is like a Gen Zer trapped in a millennial body. Like, he just like the way he like acts on social media and everything, he just like says whatever he wants, and that's,
yeah,
like 35 year old men shouldn't be saying that. I don't know,
is he 35?
I don't know, I just said that. I think he's probably like 30.
Okay, I was like, wow.
He's got to be like 30 though, right?
Probably somewhere in there. Well, yeah, you know, a grown man nonetheless. And he's also like always posting thirst traps and stuff. And it's like, Charlie, yeah, just make music. You're good at it. Just do what you're good at.
Did you see that photo shoot he did a couple months ago, whatever? Where like he was in like jeans and like his butt cheek was just out.
Yes.
What was that?
That's what I'm saying. But you know what?
What reason?
But you know what? I am a Puthenator and I will stand by him.
Oh my God. I have like the beat stuck in my head.
It's so good. Before I move on to my toast, I just have like a very distinct memory of you driving to pick me up and like pulling into my driveway to pick me up to go wherever. And you were playing The Way I Am so loudly. I could like hear it. Like I could like hear your car bumping. And I was like, I know it's going to be a good night.
And it probably was.
I'm sure it was. But it was summer 2018. So like I said, we just had that album on loop.
The Way I Am and Mutual by Shawn Mendes had us in chokeholds.
Oh my God. That is so true.
I don't think I've listened to either of those songs since that summer.
You know, I did listen to Charlie Puth's album all the way through, like not that long ago.
Okay. I'm probably like 2 months ago. I'm like inspired.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. My toast goes to the 1975. My favorite band. They're starting their new era. I think that their first single is going to be released on July 7th, but they announced it yesterday. It doesn't have like a name or anything, but they posted a picture on Instagram and it said, "Your new album, your new era, your old friends, the 1975. And they just like keep posting stuff about like how they're coming back and like they've been posting stuff for a little while now, and it's been in black and white. And if you are the 1975 stan like I am, you know that's good news. You know it's going to be good stuff when they post things in black and white. Because that was just like the aesthetic of their first album, and like it was their aesthetic for a really long time, which is kind of like grungy. Like, okay, that picture of like those random kids standing against like that brick wall on the sidewalk, and they're all wearing like denim and black. That is the aesthetic of the 1975. That is who I was in 2014.
This is true. I can verify.
Yes, that was my entire personality. And they also have a song coming out with Lorde at the end of this month called Space. I don't know the exact date of when it's supposed to be released, but it's said by the end of this month. So 2014 is thriving. I'm excited. I missed that time in my life so much. I might reactivate my Tumblr. I might just live out that fantasy again because I miss it. It was just such a simple time and people were so simple. And like all you needed was a white tennis skirt, a pack of cigarettes, and some platform sandals and a black turtleneck, and you were it.
2014 Tumblr's back.
It is. And like when I started seeing people on social media being like nostalgic for that time, I was like, we're so far removed from that, but that people are like nostalgic for it. That's insane to me.
Yeah, I saw it like younger teens were like, wow, I wish I could have been in that time. I was like, yes, what?
I know.
Excuse me.
I was like, first of all, yeah, you do, because it was a great time. Mm-hmm. Second of all, how are you like, how am I old enough to be like seeing this now?
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Isn't it?
They all just want to be in the time where Sweater Weather was released.
Oh my God. I can go on all day about 2014. Like the years 2012 to 2015 were like the best years to be a teenager. And I'm so sorry if you had to miss out on that. But 2014 was like the sweet spot. It was so good. Maybe next time we do a deep dive, I'll do a deep dive into 2014 culture.
Oh my God, you should.
I should. I'll keep that one on the back burner. All right. Well, that's all we have. I might go cry about how much I miss 2014 when this, as we're wrapping up here. But last year, Steve and I always shouted out a LGBTQ plus organization that you could donate to. And we put the link and everything in the description of this episode. So we're going to do that again for the episodes that we will be recording for this month. And the first organization we're going to shout out is Affirmations, and that is a local organization to Steve and I. It's based in Detroit, and they offer many services as far as mental health, sexual health, youth programs. They're just like a really great organization, a really great resource for especially LGBTQ plus youth to go to. If they need it, they offer a lot of great programs, have a lot of great events happening. I donated to them once, literally $20, and I get a personal invite to every like dinner they have, every event they have, every virtual meeting they have. So they really do also, you know, they have good relationships within the community.
Yes.
So yes, you know, I always say no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. So if you can't donate to any of the organizations we'll be talking about throughout the month, that is okay. I understand gas prices are high, and that is where most of my money is going. But, you know, you can still sign petitions, still get out there and advocate for the community. There's just plenty you can do. You just have, whether it's nationwide or, you know, starting you can in your community, you just have to keep your eyes open. So with that being said, happy Pride Month. This is always a safe space for anyone who identifies at any part of the spectrum to come to, you know, we're in full support here. And yeah, you know, to wrap it up with our usual outro, you can find us on Instagram at Poppin' Off About Pop Culture. You can stream us anywhere you listen to podcasts. If Apple Podcasts is your streaming platform of choice, be sure to give us a 5-star rating, leave a comment, like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, tell a stranger on the street, and be gay and do crime. Bye.
Okay, bye.